Short and sweet. I'm going to try to lean down. This feels pretty good when I lean down just a little bit. If I get a little hitch in there, I'll do it like that. Let me get my... Got one of those shirts, cost more money, and they don't have a pocket. Charlie Campbell sold it to me.
Yeah, blame him.
John chapter 11, and this here is kind of at the end when Jesus was raising Lazarus from the dead, and he said in verse 11, in around verse 40, chapter 11, verse 40, Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? And then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lift up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And then Psalm 2, 7 through 8 says this. I just wrote it down. You don't have to go there. I will declare a decree the Lord hath said unto me. Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. The title of the message today is In Harmony with God, and I've been preaching along mostly about prayer, about our prayer and things. And there's some deeper things. I said this morning, this is Deep Thinking Sunday. And we start thinking, man, you know, there's so many deep truths in the Bible and that we just can't exhaust. It's just like when we start thinking about how profound a relationship with God is, I mean, we may take it for granted. We may be jaded, but it is a profound thing that God dwells in us, and that we can pray to a holy God, and that we can move God by our prayers. Now you think that, roll that marble around a little bit too, along with the other things. The Bible tells us that we should love the Lord thy God with all our heart, but also with all our mind. So, you know, and then with all our soul, we know. And it's, you know, we faith is a thing too that's hard to grasp in a sense. Childlike faith. I mean, what does a child know? I mean, they just trust, right? I mean, when I was a child, I trusted my parents. I never, and I know everybody doesn't grow up in great situations, and maybe they can't say this. I know I don't have a great testimony. I remember Pastor Vess, Mike Vess, he didn't have a good childhood. You talk about his father was a drunk man. He came home. He said he dreaded Friday. Come home Friday, he didn't know what the weekend was going to look like. Man, they might not get nothing to eat all weekend long. Said his daddy was drunk driving across a little bridge over this water, over this all this, and drunk, and the car barely fit on the thing, and they'd be in the back seat scared to death. That was how it was. Not everybody has a great. I don't have a testimony like that with my parents. My parents, I knew that. I didn't worry about if there was going to be food. I knew they worked and there'd be money. I mean, I just knew there'd be food. I knew I had heat. I didn't think about that. There wasn't a thought, gee, I wonder if we're going to have heat tonight, you know. But a child has faith, and even an adult, it tells us to have childlike faith. And that means this, that we can accept, and we accept the truth of God without any problem. And sometimes we don't, but we can accept the truth of God and not really have to wonder about the why, you know, the why of it. Why is it this way? And worry about that. A child doesn't worry about it. Childlike faith doesn't worry about it. This is the truth. This is what God said. We believe it. We accept it. And maybe we can't explain it. There's lots of things in the Bible that we can't explain. I can't tell you why that it's that way. But at the same time, you know, we can, and so that would kind of tell us that, look, we could have faith without knowledge or a lot of knowledge. You know, we don't have to have an in-depth knowledge. We can have faith without that. But then God said that we were to love him and serve him with all our heart, our soul, and our mind, that we are to love him with our mind and serve him with our mind. Paul wrote in Romans 11:33, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God." He said, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God." Well, how deep? It's just deep beyond our comprehension. We can't. Now, that doesn't mean we can't ask God. What did Solomon ask God for? He said, God told him, he said, "You ask me any, what do you want?" He said, "I'll give it to you." He said, "Well," he thought about it, "I've got to rule this great people." He said, "I'm going to need wisdom." And God said, "Well, because you asked for wisdom and not riches," he said, "I'm going to give you the riches." And he did. But wisdom, I mean, so we can ask God. Sometimes that's not on our prayer list. I don't hear, you know, when we pray, think about that in our private personal prayer. Ask God for wisdom, enlightenment, God to open our eyes and speak to us. Man, listen, some of the deep things of God are marvelous things as God starts to lay it on us. And Paul was realizing that. And he talked, that's why he said it that way. Oh, the depth of the riches. Depth of riches. Boy, you could preach all night on this verse right here. Both of wisdom and knowledge of God. And so when we think about our prayer lives, man, I mean, as we pray to God, and it starts to impact that. I mean, how shallow. We're probably going to look one day and think, man, like maybe when we get to heaven, Paul, Mary, and I were talking about this, what we will know and won't know in heaven. Are we going to know about, we're probably not going to know any grievous things, or maybe, I don't know how God will do that. That's a mystery, but I think things will be taken away from our mind that we can't be crying about lost relatives in heaven. We're not going to have that sorrow or grief and all that. But if we did know something, like we'll think, man, my prayer life was pretty shallow when I was down on earth. I didn't see what I could ask God for. I didn't ask God what I could ask him for. You know, like deeper things, like what we really ought to, you know, get along. And so, you know, prayer and faith on the one hand are simple. It's so simple that a newborn Christian can pray with power. You know, a newborn, I think to do that, you've got to grasp a few things. We've got to get a handle on a few things. But, you know, the power, really, the average Christian doesn't realize the power. Because if not, our prayer lives would be like superlative. You know, that would be, it would be just so foremost in our life if we knew the power that we had and that we wield in prayer. And it's a mystery, it's a mysterious thing when we think about it. And that's what I'm really going to kind of talk to you about tonight when we think about it. So a newborn can pray, and we learned how to pray pretty early on. Most of us probably did. You know, we just think, man, I remember my prayer meeting when I got saved. We had a Wednesday night Bible study and prayer meeting, and the way they did it, our church had a downstairs to it. It was kind of built on the side of a hill that kind of walked out on the downstairs. So what happened, all the men would, the women would stay upstairs, and all the men would go downstairs, and we'd get it all stretched out on the chairs in a room, and we'd start to pray. And man, you were so conscious about everybody hearing what you prayed. And really, when you listen to the prayers, probably the first person could pray and we could all said amen, and that would have been it, because every prayer sounded the same way. We were praying about the sick and the needy, and you know, we didn't get into any deeper requests for wisdom and enlightenment and our eyes opened and fullness of God and those things there. So we can pray as a newborn Christian, newborn convert. Yet, when we start to grow and we start to mature and we start to meditate or start to read the Word of God and like look at the Word of God and we start to meditate upon the mysteries that of God that we see, we may have questions, which is okay. That this is good. This is, it always produces thoughts in our mind about things, and that's okay. You know, we start to have questions about, well, how extensive is the power of prayer? How, you know, there's not an end to it. There's not a limit to it. There's you know, how extensive. You know, we ought to start thinking about that, on those things. How can God grant such power to prayer? And I'll say something else to you in a minute that would cause us to question that. How can God grant such power to prayer? And how can prayer, our prayer, be harmonized with the will of God? Now, I know in the transformation process that God changes our mind. He transforms our mind so that our prayers would, you know, it's really Christ in us. And I understand all that. Yet, you know, God gave us a will. We've got a will that we can, we know Jesus had one in the garden. He said, not my will, but thy will be done. We know there's a will. And we have a will, and then even our will in the things of God that deal with the thing of God. So how can our prayer be harmonized with the will of God? And how can God, now here's where we'll get to, how can God's sovereignty means his authority, his rule. How can God's sovereignty and our will be reconciled together? So we'll look at a few things that'll go along, get a little bit deeper. Like I said, it's Deep Thinking Sunday, and this is some deep stuff, and I had to debate about whether I should preach about it, because I might not do it justice. And sometimes I can understand things that I can't articulate very well myself, but at least where I get it and somebody else might not. But the very first thing, number one point, the perfection of God. We think about the perfection of God. Now, God is absolutely independent of everything outside of himself. That means he doesn't need anything else. He doesn't need any advice. He doesn't need any input from anybody that he's just independent. He's an infinite being. God doesn't have a beginning and an end. I'll say in a few minutes about about time and space and there's, like I said, we've said this before, that God is so, his wisdom is so great that he had to condescend the language of the Word of God to where humans can understand it. You know, we'll say a past. Listen, there's no past with God. It's all present. There's no future with God. It's all present. It's all one thing. He doesn't we have time. He looks at time. He doesn't look at time the way we do. But anyway, so he's absolutely independent. He owes what he is to his own self, if you can understand that. Like, and it's beyond our comprehension. People ask the question, where did God come from? Where did God come from? Well, he just always was. Now, that's hard to, because we're time and space oriented. You know, we're time and space oriented. Where did God come from? He didn't come from anywhere. He was always was. He always existed. There was nothing to, he wasn't created. He wasn't, like I said, no beginning. So he owes to himself alone. We could think about that for a long time. We could, you just keep thinking about it, and it's hard for us to comprehend it because we see a beginning and an end of everything. We see that. And he has determined himself and everything that he is to be. He's just determined this. This is what God did. He didn't need anything on the outside. So we think about our prayer life. How can our prayer influence him? I mean, he doesn't, he's omniscient, right? I mean, this is a thing that I'm not going to be able to explain all this to you. He's omniscient. He already knows before we ask, yet our prayers can influence God in certain ways. I'll show you a few examples in the Bible. Never wear that one out either. But so, you start thinking about it. How do our prayers influence? How can he, this infinite being, God, that doesn't need anything outside of himself to advise him or, he doesn't depend on anything outside of himself, how can our prayers influence him? How can he be moved by our prayers to do what he otherwise would not do? Now, that doesn't mean we're gonna move God to operate against His Word. He's not going to do anything against what His Word. We're not going to influence God to, you know, sin or to help us sin. Let me, I guess, look at it like that. We're not going to influence in that. Or we're not going to influence God to act, immoral or to have anything to do with immorality. We're not going to influence God that way. But, I mean, in the realm, and we know God's got plans, and God's got His plan and rolling. But at the same time, within that, there are things and that we pray and how God's going to work. Ezekiel 22:30 is a good illustration of this for me. He said, the Bible says this, I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land that I should not destroy it, but I found none. So what God's saying right there, and verse 31 says, therefore, it means because, have I poured out mine indignation upon them. So what God's saying right there in Ezekiel was, look, I looked for a man to stand in the gap. And I mean by what he meant by standing in the gap, and he was probably looking for somebody in authority that was standing in the gap, that was a praying man, that was a spiritual man. I sought for somebody that would stand in the gap and make intercession for the land and the people in the land. But he said, I didn't find one. He said, therefore, because of that, have I poured out mine indignation upon them, which also tells us the opposite, that if he had found a man, if he had found somebody that would stand up and pray and was a praying man and would have prayed for the people and prayed for the land that he might, he would have changed his mind about pouring. He said, I sought for a man. If I found one, I would spare it, but I didn't. And I poured out my indignation. See what prayer difference would have made? Remember when Abraham got to Sodom and God said he was going to destroy it. Abraham said, look, if we got 50 righteous, will you do it? And he weeded it all the way down. He said, if there's 10 righteous people, 10 praying people, 10 people that are looking to you with faith and trusting you, will you destroy it? And God said, no, I won't destroy it. Couldn't find 10. See, prayer would have changed it. It would have changed it all if we'd had somebody. See, so we see that. It's a mystery. It's just a mystery. Because God, I always look at it like I know God knows. He's got foreknowledge. He's omniscient. He can see. And since God is never dependent upon anything outside of himself, when God answers prayer, it's a condensation to our weakness when he answers our prayer. He's not dependent upon our prayers to do anything. It's an accommodation of our mode of thought, which God also transforms our thought life, you know, through salvation. He transcends. And then here's another mystery of prayer. We know that we can pray to God and we can move God in certain ways. But the real blessing of prayer is the influence that it has on us. Our prayers exert an influence on us. Huh? You know, when you start really realizing the deeper things, start asking the right thing, talking to God the right. You know, I think that's just something in the process of Christian life. You know, those, like I said, we'd have those prayer meetings. And you get down there, and I'd catch myself, that same old lame, repetitive, you know. I had a guy that was a guy in our church. I remember his name. I won't say it, but good guy. Man, he was a friend. We used to bowl together and stuff, and Christian guy. But when he got ready to pray, I could move my mouth. Every time they called him pray, I could move my mouth because I knew exactly what he was going to say. He'd say the same. It was a good prayer. It sounded great. But he was that, you know, hey, Lord, we're a weak and needy people. And be, you know, I found in my prayer, I said, man, listen, prayer's got to be more than this. Prayer's got to be more than a repetitive list of everybody's kidneys and livers and hangnails and all those other things. Prayer's got to be more than that. Man, we're communing with God. We're talking to God. We're moving things in heaven. Christ, our intercessor, mediator, is there. You know, he on the right hand of God. You know, he's there. I mean, there's something going on there in heaven with prayer. Man, this is an awesome thing. So we've got the perfection of God. The second thing, we've got the place of the Son, which is what I'm kind of leading up with what I just told you. If God was only one person, there could be no thought of nearness to Him or influence on Him. But there's three. There's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Andrew Murray writes some deep stuff. I can take one page of Andrew Murray and preach for 45 minutes on what he said. And you got to sit there and study. You got to think about what he said. He can say some stuff. And he said this. This is a little quote, something he wrote. When God the Father gave the Son a place next to Him, and we know that to be in His humanity, as His equal and His counselor, He opened a way for prayer and its influence into the very inmost life of deity itself. Let me read that to you again. When God the Father gave the Son a place next to Himself as His equal, His counselor, He opened a way for prayer and its influence into the very inmost life of deity itself, which would have been Father, Son, Holy Ghost, all three. Man, that our prayers are going into that. That's deep, man. That when we pray, that our prayers are going to God the Father through the Son and through the Holy Spirit, our prayers are going there. And there's a conversation, I guess, the only way we could describe it, we could think, you know, wrap our brain around it. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus prayed. As Psalm 2:7 said, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten Thee. Ask of me, and I shall give it Thee. Man, Jesus prayed. Man, He moved the Father, right? He moved the Father. And now He's interceding for us, and not only interceding, but He's mediating as well. So the Father, God the Father, this perfect God, gave the Son the place and power to influence Him. That was in the plan. See, this is something we don't think about a lot of times, these things. We, you know, think about this. And the Father, sovereign, had determined in His sovereignty that He would not be alone in His counsel, that the Son has a place in this counsel, even though these three are one. That's another thing. You got to get your head around that. You know, it's like, man, this is deep stuff. And His plans, God's plans, would be fulfilled by the Son's asking and receiving. See, that's what Jesus was. When Jesus came to earth, right, He was fulfilling God the Father's will, right? It was part of the plan. He was going to send His Son. He did that, okay? And so He was fulfilling God the Father's will, and now Jesus came and He died and He resurrected and He rose and He sent His Holy Spirit and He's empowering us. He's filled us. And now, guess what? We are fulfilling the Father's will, should be His plans, part of His purpose and plan through man. He's doing that through Christ, through the Holy Spirit, through us, back to Him. And we're praying around. See, it's all, man. And God determined, He wanted to do it this way from the beginning. It wasn't like make it up as you go. This is what He wanted to do. God was doing this. This is part of the plan. That's a profound thought, that God wants to use us, that works through us, and He wants us to pray to Him. And so prayer is the very being and life of God. This is it. There's prayer. There's prayer in heaven. Our prayers are relayed, and there's prayer in heaven. And we're praying. And Jesus said, I knew that Thou hearest me always. He said that about the Father. I knew You heard me. I read it in our text. I knew that Thou hearest me always. His prayer on earth is a continuation of His asking in heaven. It just continues. And His prayer and our prayer to Him is the link between us and God the Father. It's all connection. Boy, I thought about like I say, sometimes we're kind of mealy-mouthed and kind of weak in our prayers, kind of fast in our prayers, kind of repetitive in our prayers. And sometimes it's not like we're praying because we know we should, and we're in a hurry and we're getting ready. But boy, I mean, when you really come into the presence of God, if you get down to the presence of God, realize you're you know, of course He's there, He's dwelling in us, and yet we're praying and the prayers are going to heaven and the presence of God the Father. This is profound. It's profound. Boy, it should shed a little light on your prayer life. Man, I'm talking to God. And he's hearing. And he's moving. Nothing's ever done in the center of deity without prayer. God the Father, God the Son, the Holy Spirit don't do anything without prayer. There's the asking of the Son, the giving of the Father. This is a deep mystery. The deep mysteries of prayer. So much deeper than our shallowness sometimes. You know, and I, you know, we can comprehend more than we probably do if we would just go to that vein, head that way. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes we don't think about it. We don't seek it. So we got the place of the Son. Jesus has got this place in this whole thing. And then there's the prayer of men. The third thing, Eileen's got that, the prayer of men. And maybe this will help us understand how the prayer of man coming through the Son can have an effect on God. That's probably the gist of what I'm trying to say. That the prayer of man coming through the Son can have an effect on God. God's decrees are not made without reference to the Son. Jesus is the first begotten, the head, the heir of all things, the representative of all creation. That's who he is. And he always has a voice in the Father's decisions. He always has a voice. Of course, he's God. We have to think about that. But in the Father's eternal purposes, room is always left for the liberty of the Son as mediator and intercessor. There's room for that. God left room for that. His plan's still going the same way, but there's room for the intercessions of the Son, who are really the prayers of us. I mean, really, if our prayer life is right, who's really praying? The Son is dwelling in us through the Holy Spirit. So the Bible says sometimes we don't even know what to pray, that the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us because we don't know what to do. Think about that. If the Holy Spirit's making intercession for us because we don't know what to pray or how to pray, where are those prayers going? They're going to God the Son with God the Father, and it's man at the throne, and you know, if we can picture it somehow, that way there's our prayer. There. It's there. It's right there. And God's, it's almost irreverent to say it this way or get this, but this decisions that, you know, are influenced by that. And of course, God knew it, you know. So we think about the petitions. The same thing holds true for the petitions of all who draw near the Father through the Son. This is it. Our petition's going up. It's going to God. God's eternal. I said before, God's not bound by a past or a present. He doesn't have a past as we do. He just doesn't. He's just, everything is the distinction of time. It's written for us to get a grip on it, but it has no meaning. Eternity. It's ever present. It's ever present now. Think about heaven and what we know. We know there's no night there. There's no day. That's eternal. It's just, there's no like, hey, what time is it? You know, in our language, there's no time. What time? It's just there. It's just it. There's no tomorrow because there's no night. It's today. There's no yesterday. It's today. That's it. Huh? Your mind can get fuzzied up here thinking about this, right? I mean, it's just today. You can't figure this out, you know? This is just the way it is. Like I say, this is kind of, it's profound. The ever-present now. That's where God is living in that. And that's where our prayers are going. This means that the unchanging nature of God's plan is still in perfect harmony with his liberty to do whatever he wishes. And as I said earlier, it's not going to be outside of his word. He's not going to do anything outside of his word. He's not going to do anything immoral. He's not going to do anything sinful. You know, it's that. But I mean within the plan. And so this is what God allows, I guess we would say, allow himself to be moved by prayer to do what otherwise he would not do. And what I said a few minutes ago, we think about in James 5:17-18, I think I marked it just so I could read it to you. It's talking about an Old Testament passage that you'd be familiar with about Elijah. And James 5, 17, 18 said, Elijah, was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Would that have happened if he hadn't prayed? Would the rain have been withheld? God was in control, right? So he prayed, and it didn't rain. He was dealing with Ahab, who was a knucklehead. You know, he was a hardhead. But he was dealing with Ahab. He said, it's not going to rain. And then during all that time, you know, he went to the brook Cherith, and the ravens flew, and they fed him. And then he went to the widow at Zarephath, and she took care of him. You know, she was about to die. All that stuff happened during that time. And then he prayed again, and it rained. Cloud looked like a little man's hand came up because he prayed. That was moving God. He was moving God. Now, God's overall plan would have got done without that. If that hadn't happened, God would have done it another way. But within his plan, man prayed, God moved. That's something, you know. And I believe, was he moving in the will of God? Yeah, I believe he was. He was a prophet. He was moving in the will of God, sure. But different things could, you know, this is it. This is what it means. Listen. The unchanging nature of God's plan, it's still perfect, and it's still in harmony with his liberty to do whatever he wills. This is it. And so it's a mystery. But, you know, God transcends all our thought. It's deeper than what I can tell you. You know, it's just, but this is part of it. There's deeper things when we think about this prayer. Man. Through our union with the Son, our prayers are taken up and can have their influence on the inner life of the Trinity. Man, that is deep, man. That's deep. And our prayers can become a real factor in the rule on this earth. Think about it. Huh? How about the election? Right? I thought about Sherry and I talked about that today. And, yes, you know, thinking about, well, she said, I'm not, you know, I can't say for sure. I'm not dogmatic, but, you know, we thought God's hand was, you know, I think on things. God's hand was on that. And protecting and outcomes. But I think more people prayed, man. People were praying. People prayed. I think we take things for granted. We might have taken things for granted one time, and then we prayed more about it. Move the hand of God, right? Move God. It can be a real factor in God's rule on earth. Listen, if not, why do we pray for our nation? Why do we pray for other nations? Why do we pray for Israel? We're told to, right? But why? Why if it doesn't make any difference? Yeah, why pray at all? God knows. I've had people say that. Oh, well, God knows everything. God already knows what's going to happen. God knows what's going to do. Why do we need to pray? Because God tells us to pray. Pray without ceasing. Why pray without ceasing if it doesn't have an impact on what's going to happen? Why pray for a nation? We pray for Ukraine. We pray for Israel. We pray for these situations in the world. If it's not going to impact what's going on in the world, what's the point? And if it does impact the world, that means that it moved God to do something that he otherwise might not have done, which wouldn't have interfered with his overall plan, by the way, down the road. It would do another. It's like this. Listen, God can use you. But if he don't use you and you won't allow him, if you don't surrender, he'll use somebody else. Huh? He'll use some. His overall plan will get done. But it'll have some kind of an impact, sure. It'll have an impact some way along the way. And all that's a mystery. I just can't, you know, I just get my head wrapped around these things. That our prayers can become a real factor in God's rule of the earth. And this is why, and because that's part of God's choice. Why didn't Jesus just stay here? Why didn't he just stay here? Why didn't he, even if he died and resurrected, come back? Why didn't he just come down and rule the earth down here? Because he wants to fulfill God's plan through us. Yeah, figure that one out. That's a real mystery, right? Huh? He wants to rule the world and expand his kingdom through us. That's what he wants to do. So then when we pray in that vein of God's will, you know, man, it moves God. There's a lot of things there. I think it just puts a deep perspective on this thing called prayer, that when we get ready to pray, to, you know, and just start to think, man, prayer is going to heaven and moving God to do. Man, that's unbelievable, and that's an unbelievable thing. Amen? All right, well, I hope I didn't confuse you any. I hope it helped you along a little bit, think a little deeper about prayer. But we'll go ahead and pray. Paul's going to come up and lead us in an invitation. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. And help us open our minds, Lord. Help us to have some deeper insight into the mysteries, your mysteries, Lord. That we know you want us to know things. And help us with that. Realize what our prayers are doing, Lord. And just help us to be in your will and praying in your will. And I know that exists as well. But open our minds, our hearts, enlighten us, Lord. Give us wisdom. Ask in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let me get all this junk out of here. Looks like.
Thank you, Pastor. Our hymn of invitation is hymn number 97, I Need Thee Every Hour. Let's stand together.